chance for Sean Mackey to strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're Navy Blue, are you?
This is the voice of someone that was up till 2:30 in the morning and now recording a podcast at 11 a.m. after the mighty Bairns of Falkirk beat the Jambos of Edinburgh on penalties. Come on, what a buzz. And we are here for it. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. I am John McInally, and I'm joined as ever by the Ginger Cook for himself, Mr. Ross Wayne.
Good morning, sir, and a good morning it is, indeed.
I don't know whose bright idea this was. Ross said, why don't we record it in the morning? And I thought, yeah, that's good. We get it out done, we get it out the way, I can edit it, I can get it up quicker. And it's a good idea in theory, but then when you beat Hearts on penalty and then decide to stay up to 2 a.m. drinking something which I will describe as Norwegian fjord water, which tastes a bit like water with vodka.
Jesus.
And have you ever come across a buzz bomb, Ross?
No, that's a new one on me, mate.
Yep, that's a new one on me, and I drank that as well. And I drank several beers, and I was up till 2 a.m. Shout out to Hunter for having us. He's got one of these garden pubs. Best pub in Larbert, by the way. Incredible stuff. The Squat and Gobble.
The Squat and Gobble.
The Squat and Gobble. So,
is he married? Is this a...
Yeah, Hunter's pub's named the Squat and Gobble. So I was in there till 2 a.m.
There's the podcast title this week. The Squatting Gobble. Jesus Christ.
So I was in the other 2:15, and absolute scenes. Absolute scenes.
Yeah, I was the same. Obviously, I was on the Guinness last night. I played it safe, and I'm always absolutely fine with Guinness, to be fair. See, if I'd just been drinking Tennent's all right, I'd have been rough today. But no, I'm feeling all right. But what a night. What another fantastic moment for Falkirk Football Club and all of us. Just absolutely phenomenal.
The moments just keep coming. It's been an unbelievable journey the last 2.5 years, and the moments are just keep rolling, you know. Beating Hearts at Tynecastle. I mean, we'll talk about the game and the company of our guest pundit Scott McDonald in just a bit, get into the deep dive on it, but like, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable.
Yes, I'm smiling. I was quite emotional last night. If it's getting full time, I just thought it's just another big situation that we've kind of taken ourselves in. I know, like, see, the non-Falkirk fans are probably sick and tired of hearing about where we were 3 years ago, right? But listen, see, for us, it's just the journey that we've been on, and it's emotional at times. It really is.
Yeah, 100%. Honestly, like, I've missed another bloody cup tie from a beat Hearts. I can't believe
yeah,
I missed
it. Yeah, you have no luck.
Do you know what? I've just got to stay away from cup ties with Hearts. That's the thing. Just got to stay away from them. That'll be me staying away from cup ties with Hearts because we win them. That's what happens. We absolutely win them. So that incredible scenes and they're just incredible times. So great. Had a great night. Just watching them. Actually, end up going to the Warriors game on a couple of Bairns. Shout out to Mark. There's a few Bairns at the Warriors game. I went to the Scottish Cup Warriors game because I didn't get to Edinburgh, but I thought, oh, you know what? Stenny's just down the road. So I went along. By the way, unbelievable performance from Stenny. Battering Morton 4-0.
Yeah, so I've seen the goals. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. I would... Well, would I want Stenny Smear Yeah, probably would, because
I hate
it's just
staying.
another local game. I know they've got these, they sometimes have a bit of an Indian sign over us, but I generally don't think that would happen with this team that
I
we've
know.
got. But
I don't think so. And then obviously, unlucky Camelin. I would have been great if Camelin had got their name into the hat as well. I mean, imagine the scenes that would have been if it was Camelin Juniors versus Falkirk. It would have been incredible.
Jesus. Well, it would have been a ticket scramble of
Oh,
old ticket
100%.
scrambles, to be fair. But yeah, no, they were unlucky. And but listen, we've made it through, and Dunfermline have as well. Well, that would be a nice draw tonight in the draw.
Interesting,
That would be
Dunfermline
tasty.
putting out Hibs, us putting out Hearts. That would be certainly an interesting draw, especially the return of Mr. Morrison. Let's just talk about that then. Callum Morrison returning to Dunfermline. Thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was quite funny. As soon as he was announced, though, obviously various videos of him calling Pars fans this, that, and the next thing,
Yeah.
as these were all getting shared, and I was
Interesting.
here for it. Yeah, absolutely here for it. He's probably sitting going, "Oh no, there's so many
There's
videos
so many videos of me saying fuck the Pars out there. Oh, Jesus.
there." But listen, he's got to earn a living,
I
and
know.
he was a huge part of the Invincible season. We can't take, we'll never take that away from
Exactly.
him. However, he is now playing for that lot,
So fuck
and fuck him. Yeah, exactly.
it. No, but I thought it was interesting. Obviously, let's talk Celtic, Ross, because before we talk about the Hearts game, we were so unlucky on Wednesday night. We it was it, the least we deserved was a point. Our XG was like 1.5 or something like that. We had the better
Yeah.
chances. But as I keep saying time and time again, anytime I speak to anyone about that game, is you can't miss chances like that against Celtic.
No, well, you can't miss chances like that against anyone and expect to win the game or get something from it. And I don't want to do the boys down, because I thought we worked our absolute socks off on Wednesday night. We hammered Celtic for large parts of the game, and we do need to remember it was Celtic. It wasn't one of the sort of teams that are were expected to get a lot of points off, right? However, I don't know if we'll have a better opportunity, because we had three or four amazing chances in that first half. Obviously, we didn't put any of them away, but you break them down, sort of like Barney being through, he kind of just places it straight to Kasper.
Actually, thought I was at the time. I thought he was queened through, but having watched the highlights back when after the game, there was two Celtic defenders encroaching him. I
There
hadn't realized
they're
that point
aware,
from the angle.
yeah.
So, to be honest
Aye,
with you, it was a bit harder than
he
I
did have
thought.
trouble. He did have trouble beside him, but I thought either side of Casper, and it's a goal. Finn, obviously, there was that beautiful cross came over for Finn, and Finn didn't know really whether to head it or get his leg up, and he obviously kind of did a bit of both. So it didn't help. Kyrell, we spoke to Kyrell in the lounge after the game. He was particularly gutted. He did slip. He confirmed that he slipped just as he went to take the shot, but he had done everything right. He really had. And he was a menace on Wednesday night. He was a menace last night at Tynecastle as well. I thought he was
Pace is
great.
unbelievable. Pace is
Pace is
unbelievable.
phenomenal. And then what was the last one? The first half. Leon had
Leon.
obviously a bit of a shot from outside the box. He'll probably be a bit disappointed that he dragged it so far wide, because he has got a beautiful shot on him, as we saw last night from his outside of the box effort. But yeah, and then Celtic go and score against the run of play, really. And there's no foul. I know there's a couple of people saying, "Oh, there's maybe a foul in there." I just think Nygren was stronger than where we were. I think it was Conor Allan, unfortunately,
Now, I mean,
down on deck.
it was a it, kind of the. I mean, the thing is, and I said before the goal was scored. I think I said to you, it was just like we can't let any more corners because Engel's delivery is exceptional. His delivery from corners is absolutely exceptional, and that's a hard ball to defend at the best of times. So,
It
and
was, and his crossing was brilliant all night while he was on, you know.
So I mean, we were unlucky. I mean, obviously that big chance for Ethan Williams, great save from Kasper Schmeichel as well, who didn't have, was busy. A lot of Celtic supporters, oh, that's incredible! It's incredible. So, but it was hard one to take, but listen, we're here to talk about the Hearts game. And what about Roger? Let's talk about Roger. Can we just hold our hands up now, right, and say, right, just in case, if Rod's lawyers are listening, Rod didn't drink a Fokker Daft Venom, by the way. That was a Photoshop job. Thank you very much to Grant Thompson for that. But the amount of people are messaging me going, I can't believe Rod had a Fokker Daft Venom in behind the wall. I was like,
literally thousands of people liked the photo, shared it, and Grant messaged me later on in the day and went, well, that blew up.
I know.
He did. He was obviously.
He was definitely behind the wall. We can confirm he had a porn star martini in behind the wall, obviously. So we could get Brian to. He didn't have any food. He didn't have any food. But there's. He must have went up after the game as well because of the karaoke.
I think he did. Yeah, yeah, he was up. He was up after the game. From the few people that met him, I think Rod had a fair amount of alcohol over the course of Wednesday. You need to bear in mind he's 81 though as well, isn't he? So
exactly. But we just confirm in case Rod's lawyers are listening, that was a Photoshop, and not we will not say that Rod Stewart was drinking a Fokker Daft Venom. No, he might have.
We don't know. Obviously, we were setting.
I don't think Rod would be drinking anything blue. To be honest,
that's the thing.
But I know, but incredible scenes, and obviously Steve Clarke was there on Wednesday against Celtic as well. So having a look at Calvin Miller, maybe.
Yeah, well, Scott Bain would obviously have been definite one he was having a look at, and not that Bain had much to do against Celtic, to be fair to him. But yeah, listen, any Falkirk player that was playing on Wednesday night, it was an opportunity for them, for the national manager to have a look at them. I enjoyed Wednesday night. I know that we obviously had a large amount of Celtic fans in the lounge as well, but just because there was a few companies in. But there was good banter. They took our chat well, and it was obviously, well, we're still going to do our usual Falkirk chat and banter and interviews, so it wasn't going to be anything different there, but I thought they were good.
Speaking to Jimmy, a lot of well-kept faces in from former players, Andy Nicol, Brian Purdy, the usual suspect, Scott McKenzie was in there, we chatted to him, Jimmy Gilmore was in as well, Stuart Kennedy, John Kennedy, sorry, there was a whole bunch in on Wednesday, so it was good to chat to them as well. But yeah, unlucky against Celtic, a bit more luckier against Hearts, which we'll talk about in just a tick. You were on the STV radio at the weekend as well with you and Cameron.
Yeah, so I think I take it to text you as well to see your whereabouts. But
no, I can't. Obviously, he's on a rival radio station.
Oh, of course, so yeah, you would have been out for
I can't, couldn't possibly go on it. So yeah. He messaged me saying, hey, "Well, Ross, come on." I sent him your number, and then you had the whole the pain of speaking to Ewan for.
No, it was fine. It was obviously Ronnie and Ewan hosting their radio show. I was only on for a few minutes, but yeah, just previewing the game, having a bit of chat. Ewan, to be fair to him, he did predict a Falkirk win, which is not like him because he normally.
I don't know what's happened to us. I did message him after he got in touch looking for your number, saying I fancy us tonight, by the way, and he actually says, "So do I." So there you go. It was great. It was good to my Uncle David as well. Shout out to my Uncle David, who's a big jambo as well. Very bitter at the end. Very bitter when I sent him. I sent all the jambos and all that kind of gif of Jack Nicholson smoking a cigar and blowing a smoke ring. It should have been a penalty. It should have been a penalty. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, no chance. No chance. We'll talk about Michael Stewart later on. Fucking what a wank. Anyway, so yes, that was our weekend. Hopefully you had a great one. I'm sure you did. We need to say thank you very much to our episode sponsor this week, and it is the back. It's RMR, pronounced rumour, by the way. RMAR, Ryan Marshall, our friend, architect extraordinaire. He has been in Falkirk for 5 years now, and basically he's one of the only fully chartered and accredited architects in the town. If you're looking for an extension on your house, if you're looking for, if you're in a business looking to set up, he will take care of all your needs. He's done loads of projects around the town, the house at the old Polish Club, did Crunchy Carrots when they moved into the old Leckie shop. He's done it all. And a shout out to Jamie Swimming as well, because basically, it costs for the services to design new stands would be professional. I don't know what I'm talking about here. I've just started reading what's on the page here. But
do you want me to take
you
over?
Pick that bit up, Ross? What a shout out. Yeah. What are you saying?
So basically, what he's saying is he wants to give a shout out to Jamie Swinney because what Ryan's saying is that the cost for the services to design a new stand would be preferential and could save the club a few thousand quid.
There you go. So that's what. So Ryan's basically going to. I don't think he'll do it for free. But no. If we're looking for a new stand, Ryan's your man, Jamie. If you are listening, and by the way, Ryan's got an offer. If you are thinking about like an extension or any project, Ryan is putting a Falkirk Daft offer, which will save you 10%. If you quote Falkirk Daft when you contact Ryan and you're looking for an architect, he's going to give you 10% off. Just to say, I heard the boys talking to you in Falkirk Daft. You're going to get 10% off, which, like, when it comes to architects, is going to be a huge wad in your back pocket.
That could be a huge discount. Absolutely, yeah.
Exactly. So if you want to speak to Ryan, you've got any projects coming up, get them. rmar.co.uk, rmar.co.uk. And remember to quote Falkirk Daft and you'll get that 10% off. So there you go. Shout out to Ryan. Rumour Architecture, absolutely smashing. Right, let's go into Birthday Corner now, and we'll kick off with Stuart Cahill, Ross.
Yeah, so for a message in from Kirk, he says, "Hi lads, can you please wish my dad, Stuart Cahill, a happy 80th birthday? He is a lifelong Bairn who was lucky enough to see us lift the Scottish Cup in 1957, and maybe he'll get to do it this year as well." And that's happy birthday from Kirk and all the Cahill family.
The Cahill, is that not the funeral? People, it's Cahill funeral directors.
Sure,
I just made that up. Anyway, I'm sure there's a Cahill funeral director. Shout out to Jameson, 66. He was fanzines editor for around 3 years in the late 80s, early 90s. Derek. He was also part of the Bat Bairns. Helped loads of auctions with Falkirk memorabilia from Brockville. So that's a happy birthday to Derek from Alexander Jameson. Derek, happy birthday to you. You obviously done so much for the club back in the day.
Yeah, I met Derek and Alexander the last two games in the 1876 Lounge. They were booked in for Aberdeen. They were at the Celtic game as well. Two brilliant guys. And I saw they were at the they're at Tynecastle last night as well. So massive shout out, two big Bairns. As you said, John, happy 66th birthday to Derek.
Got to say, you know, talking about Tynecastle last night, we're obviously going to get into the game, but my brother was on the camera last night at Tynecastle. So some well-kent face. Obviously, my brother is a Falkirk supporter. So when he goes, this is how I've appeared on the telly so many times, because my brother likes winding me up by, you know, when it goes to the crowd shots, there's me eating a pie or something like that. But he was obviously zooming in on our group of pals, and there was an incredible scene. I think shout out to Alan and Luby, who were at the end, they flicked it, flicking the V's at the Heart supporters. Incredible, by the way. I was like watching, going, "Oh my god, that's amazing!" And obviously at half time, Stevie and Joe and the full gang, Andy,
Richard Sinclair, were Richard on at one Sinclair, point as well,
so they were all on, they were all on the telly last night as well. So incredible scenes.
Did you see? I think it must have been David who also took a shot of the Falkirk director. Box just
yes.
As the Hearts player missed the penalty as well, and you just saw some of the directors give.
I saw Stuart and Keith and all that on the telly as well last night. So yeah,
Keith looked as if he was trying to remain calm and sensible.
Yeah,
and
then Stuart, and then, however,
you just had Jamie going absolutely daft.
Jamie going mental and Stuart as well. Brilliant scenes. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Shout out to David for getting us all on the telly. If you ever want to be on the telly as well, drop a DM. We'll see if we can give us your seat number wherever you are next time Falkirk on the telly, and we'll see if we can get you on with a wee message to David. Incredible scenes. Incredible scenes. A couple of players' birthdays. Seb Ross, Ethan's brother, obviously played for us. I don't know where Seb is now, actually. I think he's... Was he at Bath?
No, he's at Peterhead.
Is he at Peterhead? That makes sense. Yes. That makes sense. So his birthday is on the 20th. So 26 now, Seb Ross. Ethan Ross, obviously. We found out a couple of weeks ago that the Rosses have come from a family of bakers as well. There's a very famous bakery up in Aberdeen.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's part of the Ross. But obviously, happy birthday to Seb. Didn't really... He was all right. I always thought Seb Ross, when he came on, just in a bad time.
Right player, wrong time. There was a lot of situations like that back 5, 6 years ago, unfortunately. I genuinely think we could have signed Messi and we would have turned him into shite. But listen, that's the bad old days, and we're definitely in the good old days now.
On the 23rd, it's Stephen Thompson. Stephen was a great midfielder. I mean, obviously, he scored when we beat Celtic 1-0 at the stadium the last time. We beat Celtic at the stadium. Stephen scored the winner with a header there. He's 48 on the 23rd.
Yeah, it's as we always say, John. It's the players who were probably just a bit older than us then are obviously that, let's say, just a bit older than us now. And you just think Stephen Thompson, and you don't think of him as, well, 48. Or, certainly, the next player as well,
Camilo Ponga. He's 48 on the 24th, as is Aaron Jarvis as well. God, Aaron Jarvis, there's a name I'd never thought I'd mention on this podcast. He's 28, God.
Yeah, I had a quick look. He's playing for Yeovil Town these days. So.
And the only super goalkeeper, what a goal he was, Danny Malo, is 47 on the 25th. Do you know what? We should see if we can, all the players that kind of foreign players that played for us, Danny Malo, Pedro, all these players, see if we can get them on this podcast on a Zoom. It'd be amazing. I'd love to speak to Danny Mao. Let's think about the save up at Inverness from Danny Mao. Incredible stuff.
Yeah, it would be good. Although I think I get the impression from his social media posts that his English is maybe not the best.
Right.
Because I think he still uses Google Translate for a lot of his Falkirk-based tweets, because you'll sometimes see he'll say, "Come on, the marine blue," which would obviously make the navy blue. So yeah, I think he would be amazing though, because, like, granted, he wasn't with us long, but what a big player,
what an impact!
Big
impact! He obviously played in the Scottish Cup final again for England as well. So there you go, Danny Mal, what a goalkeeper he was. That a shout out to all the former players that are having their birthday this week. In terms of club news, we discussed obviously the new signings start of the week. Ballots open now for the Celtic game, but obviously there's a bit of a boycott going on with that. I'll be interested to see how many people enter the ballot. Obviously, gate 20 letting themselves be heard on Wednesday there with the signage, saying that basically 36 quid is pricing. It's ridiculous, and it is ridiculous, because it's one of the worst away sections in Scottish football, and yet they're charging 36 quid. So good, well done, Gate 20. And by the way, I've seen a lot of media pick up on it as well, on what they did. So well done, lads. Absolutely superb work.
Totally agree. 36 quid for an adult is shocking. You've got to bear in mind that obviously means that there's a really, really expensive concession and child ticket in there as well. So it's a shocking price. And I get, listen, you see the usual suspects, especially in amongst the sort of Celtic and Rangers support, saying, well, don't go then, don't pay it, blah, 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 right? So for them, it is what it is. But at some point, that is too dear. I think the protest was really well done. It has got some traction. I don't know how many will go to Celtic this time. We've played them twice away already this season. We had about 1,800 there at the cup game. We sold out the sort of 800-900 that we had in the league game. I still think people will travel, but I don't think it'll be a sellout.
I don't think so. I'll be interested to see how many people actually do go. But well done, Gate 20. By the way, if anyone is listening from Gate 20, can you please send us or DM us some of the lyrics to the new song? Because me and Ross are old and we can't make out the words, and we want to sing along to some of the songs, as do, I guess, many of the Falkirk supporters. But we just kind of catch words here, there and everywhere. So we really need, like, as we're old people, we really need to find out the lyrics to these songs. So if you could please DM us any of the Gate 20 or any ultras with the words to the new songs that we keep. There's two new songs that I've heard. And by the way, can we just say, I mean, fair enough, we've went for the old daddy cool for Louis LaMarche, right? Leon McCann needs a song. Leon McCann needs a song, ultras, and I'm putting this onus on you. Leo McCann's one of our oldest servant players, and yet Louis Marsh turns up on loan for Sheffield United, and we're like, Louis Marsh, come on, Leo. Justice for Leon is what I'm thinking.
Absolutely, yeah, no, I agree.
Brad Spencer doesn't have a song. Brad Spencer.
No, he does. Brad's got it's Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, so of course he's sorry. Yeah. Sure.
But no, you're right. I can't think of Leon having one. Was there not a really crap one pre-Ultras days when, well, obviously we weren't great in Leon's first season. But yeah, I'm sure there might have been an early song for him, but there's not been any since we've been kind of since Gate 20 or the Ultras turned up. That's true.
Yeah, so let's get it sorted. Justice for Leon, a song for Leon. If you've got any suggestions for a song for Leon, please drop us into the DMs as well. Really, really appreciate that. But yeah, Justice for Leon. We need a good song for Leon. So yeah, thanks very much, Ultras. And send us the words to the new song so we can let everyone know to sing along with them as well. Before we get into Talking Hearts then, let's thank you very much to the Rod Stewart, officially thumbs up, Behind the Wall. There you go. Rod Stewart is endorsed Behind the Wall, and we do this every week on Falkirk Daft. Stay local, eat and drink global, of course. One of Falkirk's best pubs, one of Falkirk's most famous pubs after the Bulgin sang karaoke there. And of course, he didn't drink the Falkirk Daft venom. Rod's lawyers, he didn't drink the Falkirk Daft venom. That was just a bit of fun on our part of him drinking the Falkirk Daft venom. But if you do want to try it yourself, head up to Behind the Wall. It's the only place in Falkirk you get the Falkirk Daft venom. And of course, the Buster Hibs at home is on sale now. £5 a tonne. You get your drink at the end of it. And there's a Burns Night happening on the 23rd of January. Get yourself involved in that. It's Tri-Seater putting that on, so that should be a good night. And Fleeting Rumours, a tribute to Fleetwood Mac, are there on the 31st of January. So break your dry January and then just go up and see a Fleetwood Mac tribute. At favourite Fleetwood Mac song, Ross? I love putting you on the spot like this.
Is that what the day the
come on, Ross? Come on, give me one.
I don't know if this is the name of
the song. Go, right.
Is it the easy one? Has they got a song that's like
that's the Eagles, easy mate. Or something? That's the Eagles, mate.
Or is that the Eagles right
that's
now?
The Go Your Own Way. You go with that one. No,
I might go if I hear
you
it.
You can go your own way.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. Yeah,
well, you can have that as your favourite.
Good tune. There we go.
Such a good tune.
You're such a dick.
Anyway, check out everything that's happening behind the wall, behindthewall.co.uk. Right, let's talk Hearts. I've been eager to talk about it for ages now. And to do it in the company, first time on the podcast, it's Scott McDonald.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
You good?
Good. How are you feeling? I'm a little bit tender after drinking Norway Fjord Water buzz bombs and several beers after the victory against Hearts. What about yourself, Scott?
Still buzzing from last night, guys. What a game. Yeah, a wee bit touchy, a wee bit hungover myself, guys, I have to be honest.
Never a bad thing.
Absolutely.
Guys, nice like last night. Don't have very often for Falkirk fans. So, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, but Scott, with me and Ross both watched it on the telly. Were you at the game?
No, I was listening to the whinging of Michael Stewart on Premier
League. Oh my God! We'll talk about Michael Stewart in just a bit. Jesus Christ! This is your first chance time on the podcast, Scott. We don't know your Falkirk story. We do know a story about you, however, which we'll talk about in a minute. But Scott, how long have you supported Falkirk? What's your Falkirk story?
Right, I've been a Falkirk fan since I was probably 10, 11 years of age. So that's into the early 80s. My very, very first game was at Recreation Park in the late 70s. My uncle Ian took me to the game, and we thought we had a 3-2 victory, but we came home and it was actually a 3-all draw, so we missed the bloody first goal. Spent many years at Brockville in the South Enclosure, along with my uncle Ian and Craig Porteous, who you might know, and his dad, Alan, who's sadly passed away now, and his friend Brune. So so that's my story. Been a Falkirk fan for a long, long time. Seen all the highs and all the lows, and absolutely love it.
Oh, we're certainly talking about the highs now, that's for sure. It's and we're about to talk about another one. Question for you, Scott. We've been asking random questions. I'm going to go for, who's your Falkirk cult hero?
My cult hero. Well, my first ever hero was a guy called Ken Eady, and you guys are probably too young for that.
Yeah, Ken
No, I
Eady.
remember Ken. Yep.
He's my first hero, but my cult hero, Callum Higginbotham.
Oh, that's going to split the audience, that one.
The reason he's my cult hero because I thought he was an absolute bomb scare. And obviously, he played for them, obviously, as well. But no, when he got on the ball back in the day, he was really, really good. And then they would make a shooting mistake, then you go totally frustrated with him. But no, he's always had that kind of cult hero for me. You know, I
Yeah.
thought he's superb when he was on the ball, you know.
Absolutely. Ross, you had that never asked you. That's a great question. Who's your cult hero?
Definitely not Callum Higginbotham.
Yeah.
No, do you know, I get the Callum thing because when he was on the ball, you thought this is going to be something might happen. He was quite excited, but actually, he obviously he just decided to hate Falkirk as soon as he left us for absolutely zero reason. So I just kind of annoyed me. So I've kind of got blinkers on my head. That's a brilliant question. As in, so are we defining cult hero as in someone who wasn't necessarily very good
You know,
or?
you could have been there for a season, half a season. I guess you could be even put Anthony Stokes in a cult hero kind of situation because, you know, he was only there for 6 months and was incredible.
Yeah, he could do. Do you know? I'll say someone who he was about at the same time as Callum. I'm going to go Farid Alagui
Oh,
because
yeah, it's a good shout. That's a great shout.
he was never the best player ever. Far from it, but he just seemed to be in the right place at the right time, and he scored a barrel load of goals for us that season. So yeah, I'll go Farid.
I tell you what, guys. I remember Kieran Duffy running down that wing and crossing the ball into Farid regularly.
Very
Roger,
true.
just on that, I mean, the season after, Lyle Taylor signed for us, as you know, right?
There's
Yes.
a great that's a great shout for a cult
And you know
hero, Lyle
what?
Taylor.
He scored 24 goals in 34 games.
Incredible.
What a player. What a player.
Yeah, he went on for Lyle Taylor went is still having a really good career down south as well. He was what a player Lyle Taylor was, aye. Unbelievable stuff. That's a great
He
shout.
was. He was good. No, he was
Yeah.
a good hitman.
Absolutely. By the way, before we get into the Hearts game, I need to hold my hand up and say, remember Ross, we were talking about we paying fees for players and we hadn't paid a fee for a player since I said John Stewart at the time. I knew everyone would jump on it. Shout out to everyone who jumped on the comments on YouTube. Remember, leave your comments on the YouTube channel and said that we actually paid a fee for Dylan Makin as well. And I think there was another player that
It
we
was
paid.
Jordan Allen was mentioned,
Jordan Allen,
and
yeah.
so, yeah, there was also we got a message to say they thought we had paid some sort of fee for Brian Graham
Oh really?
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
There we
maybe one
go.
of these undisclosed fees.
Yeah. So immediately corrected on that one. So that thanks for everyone that got in touch with that. Obviously, just let us know in the comments below when we mess up, pretty much, because it happens every week, pretty much. I would say that. And let us know your cult hero as well for Falkirk. Drop us a DM, get on Twitter, give us your Falkirk cult hero. We'd love to hear them as well. Let's talk Hearts then. We've been desperate to talk about it. And what a win for the Bears. And by the way, can I just hold my hands up now? On the preview episode, I called it. I said 1-1 and Falkirk winning the penalties. Thank you very much. Mystic John right here. Love it. When we did the preview with Craig Fowler, I actually should send him a message as well after the game last night. But yeah, I mean, 1-1, win on penalties, take it every week. One change, went kind of resorted back to what we did at St Mirren. With Henry Cartwright coming in for Kyrie Wilson, there was the one change that happened from the Celtic game. I thought it was interesting, Ross. I thought he actually might have went with pace, which obviously he did at half time. But yeah, Henry Cartwright, we know, is a very good footballer, but he kind of went to what we did at St Mirren. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, he did. So when I saw the team, I thought, oh, that is literally like for like with St Mirren. I wonder if he's just going for the sort of, well, have a steady first half, which we did to a degree. I thought Hearts had a lot of the ball in the first half. Like, there wasn't a lot going on for Falkirk for a chunk of the game. Sorry, the chunk of the first half. I saw he made mention on, I think it was either Premier Sports or BBC last night, that halfway through the first half, he then changed the formation ever so slightly. Not that I noticed. I don't know if anyone else noticed a formation change there. I noticed him play, like, switching some of the players about, but that was all I saw. But yeah, it wasn't until the subs came on at half time that we looked a bit more like the Falkirk that we've come to know and love this season.
Yeah, not much to write home about in that first half, Scott. I mean, we played all right though, I thought.
Yeah, I thought we played really well. I thought Hearts started off really well. And then obviously I thought we got into it a wee bit, but then they came back quite strong. I mean, I was personally quite happy that Cartwright started. I really like Kevin Carr. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah.
There's something about him. He's got that kind of, as you say, he's a big arse, John,
Love that arse.
and I know, I me too. But
Yeah,
he's got
unbottled.
a presence, and it was a very kind of bank forward first half, nothing to really write home to. But I do agree though that the half-time substitutions really transformed our performance in the second half.
The only real chance we had, I guess, in that first half, we had some nice passages of play. We defended really well in that first half. I mean, nothing. Scott Bain really had very little to do, if all being said. But that I mean, there was a good bit of 1-2 between Barney and Leon, which obviously resulted in Leon, hitting a shot, and that was the only thing really in the first half to write home about. But we defended really well, especially in the last kind of part of the half as well. I thought, I mean, I don't know how many, like, we were talking about it and we were watching the game last night. Liam Henderson is just like, we're discussing who would be a player of the season so far, and it's all like, oh, Philippe Lisa, maybe, could you say Brad Spencer? But then you keep forgetting Liam Henderson, who just like he strolls through games. And he's bringing Connor on that stroll as well. Just the two of them are exceptional, absolutely first class. And Liam Henderson, you see him constantly talking through the games, marshalling that defence, and just like we got into a debate about Liam Henderson for Scotland. I don't see why that wouldn't happen. He's I think there's like looking at Hearts centre halves, Finlay and Halkett, they're maybe ahead of him in the queue. But Liam Henderson, can he be far off? Like, when you look at Grant Hanley, for God's sake, and John Souter, Liam Henderson is a better centre half than either of those two.
I would agree, Jordan. He's been so consistent as well. He's been an 7, 8 out of 10 every single game, and he had another like amazing performance last night. I actually see you know me. I have the absolute fear with penalties, and I can barely watch. So when the penalty,
I'd actually loved to have been sat beside you last night, Ross, when the penalties
honestly,
were
my
happening.
daughter was just like, she's like, calm down, and I'm like, no, I can't. And but like, there was a moment where like every time a Falkirk player's walking up, I've already ran the penalty in my head, going, well, this is why he's missing. Do you know what I mean? And Hendo's like, oh, he's had such a good game, I can't believe he's missing.
I was 100% the exact same thing. Like, I was like jumping out of my seat. We'll get to the penalty shit, but I was jumping out of my seat going, why isn't Liam Henderson taking the second penalty? Why? And then you forget it's Liam Henderson, so he just
He has an absolute wand.
cigar out, just walks up, strikes it into the top bin, boom.
A wand as a left foot. But no, going back to the first half, I thought we deserved to go in level at half time. We did defend well. We didn't create a lot, as we've just said. And I did wonder if change was going to come. And we obviously got a text from Richard who saw the three boys that did come on run out for the second half. John, just before we talk about the second half, though, it's interesting. Did you get a phone call from the police halfway through the game asking you to move your car for the street? Was it blocking any cars or buses?
We did get to that. Scott was in the lounge a couple of weeks ago, Scott, and this is how we got talking and got you on the podcast. And there was a stadium announcement made looking for the owner of a certain car. Which was blocking the entrance for the Aberdeen supporters buses getting in, and I did it in the lounge thinking, oh, there'll be someone in here, and right enough, the bulge in here runs away going, that's my car.
Hood up.
Not my finest there, chaps, but anyway, listen, I couldn't come out of it. I got on the podcast, so
Definitely, absolutely.
but listen, guys, I'm back in the lounge this Saturday for the Hibs game, and I'm not driving this week.
Oh, hands up, we're not actually in the lounge, we're in hospitality ourselves
Oh, are
this
you?
week.
All right,
We're
okay,
sponsoring
fair
the
enough.
arm we've got the armband sponsor this week, so we're in
Fair
actual
enough, fair
hospitality,
enough.
allowed to get up.
We have
Not
a very good substitute and lined up, though, don't we, John? We do.
Shout out to Colin Barr. Obviously, Colin from the official Falkirk Football podcast. Colin's going to be hosting the lounge this week, so he'll do a smashing job, I'm sure. So you'll have a great time in the lounge, I'm sure, Scott. But just mind and park your car in the right place, eh?
I'm not driving, John. I'm
All
not
right, there
driving.
you go. Yeah.
I'm on the beer on Saturday.
Good.
Good lad. Good lad. We'll pop along and see you, Scott, because we owe you a drink for coming on this podcast this week. We get into half time, the bugle comes out, and three subs. I actually thought it would only be two. I was interested because it's very on John like to make that many changes, but he's obviously, I don't know if this has been pre-planned subs, like just first half, let's just hold it, do what we did at St Mirren, see what comes of it. But then in the second half, you know, if it was being pre-planned, right, okay, we'll swap out Barney, Finn and Henry, and then Ben Parkinson, Louis Marsh and Kyrie Wilson all come on. Immediately an injection of complete pace into the side rows.
It was. I agree with you. I thought maybe two. However, I think we need to bear in mind Barney had took a knock just prior to halftime, and that's maybe enforced his substitution a bit earlier. But it did. Kyrell just, he had been a menace against Celtic, and he was a menace when he came on last night as well. Ran his socks off, and he worked so hard, both
so
defensively and offensively.
Yeah, he's so fast. We were talking about how fast he is, Scott. Like, he must be one of the fastest in the league.
I mean, his pace was incredible, and the tempo in the team just took a massive lift when he came on. All three of them, I thought, were immense in the second half last night. I mean, when you look at the signings that John has made, I mean, these guys have come in and they've had an instant impact. And you say, Kara Wilson as well. I mean, honestly, it's just incredible that he can find his players in England and they've fitted in really well. Huge improvement when they come on the second half. No doubt about it.
Yeah. Obviously, the big incident at the start of the second half was the disallowed goal for Thomas Magnussen. The three of us were watching Premier Sports. Yeah. Michael Stewart. What a prick! Like, how he can actually say that wasn't a handball and double down? Like, he just doubled down on it as well. Like, and I just couldn't believe it.
The rule is really clear.
When the ball touches the hand, it's a handball.
Before the goal, the goal has to be chopped off. So it had, and I get, listen, there was he didn't mention this, but if he had, it would have made more sense of him having an issue. There was obviously a potential discussion about it hitting Lissa's hand.
Yeah.
I could understand that argument, but that wasn't his argument. His argument was that it came off Dylan Tate's back, but it quite clearly hits the upper side of his hand.
I mean, I really felt sorry for Rory Hamilton last night, having that whinging so-and-so beside him all night. It was embarrassing, his bias towards Hearts on that particular occasion.
Yeah. Shout out to Benny, my mate, who basically was, during the match, started writing an email to Premier Sports saying he would stop his subscription unless Michael Stewart was removed. This is during the game. It was like honestly, and the boy Rory Hamilton must be going, mate, they showed the still of it. They showed the still of it and saying, and he just kept doubling down. I'm like, what are you doing? But it was disallowed, and quite rightly so. Obviously it was a bit of heart and mouth at the time. But like it's not a goal. It's a handball. So
handball.
And let's just, we might as well, while we're moaning about Michael Stewart, talk about the penalty incident, the coming together of Lisa, and I think it was for Hearts. I'm not too sure who it was for Hearts that he came together with. But ridiculous. Like he said, that's a definite penalty. I've never seen VAR should hang its head in shame and all this sort of stuff.
See that situation anywhere else in the park? The ref's not even blown for a foul there. No, so the ref's
done not
well.
Even looking. At least it's not even looking at it.
No, yeah, the ref done well, and if VAR even looked at it, which I don't think they did, fair play to the ref for that situation.
It's funny, guys, because I watched the BBC highlights again this morning, and even their panel were like, Michael Stewart says a definite pen. Absolutely no danger of penalty.
No, absolutely not.
I can't remember who's the studio. I think it was Stephen O'Donnell and Stephen Cregan were saying it was a penalty, but no, I agree. Nobody had a penalty. Move on, you know.
Absolutely. So Michael Stewart, honestly, Jesus.
Oh. So he's never getting a booking for Super Scoreboard. Then,
I don't think he will be after. If he ever listens to this podcast, I don't think he'll be taking my calls, to be honest with you. Come on,
John,
Michael.
It wasn't offering any unbiased analysis. It was just whinging for the Hearts, you know. So get up on, you know.
Unbelievable, unbelievable. Anyway, listen, we go on 59 minute and we get our goal. Ben Parkinson, who'd obviously come off the bench. Lisa, again, was outstanding last night. I mean, like, Swansea must have some absolutely amazing options at right back if they're going to let him us keep him, which I'm absolutely here for, but still, he was outstanding again last night. And great drive and run into the box. Fires the ball across, and Ben Parkinson doing what every good striker does, getting into that box and just getting in front of his man and firing it into the back of the net. Incredible scenes.
Perfect goal. Perfect goal. As you said, Lissa, just that wee shimmy just before he starts hitting the byline was perfection. You're saying he fired it across, John. I reckon he's pinpointed that pass. Like, he's looked up, he's picked out the run, and Ben has just, as you said, has done exactly what you would hope a striker would do. He's got in front of his man to get his foot in there. Keeper's nowhere. And the scenes behind that goal was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
I know, watching it on the telly, you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm not at that game.
That was a great goal. I mean, that run from Lisa was absolutely brilliant. He's commanding his presence to run into that box, and you're right, Ross, that pinpoint pass, and what a finish from Parkinson. I mean, if that's what we're going to get from this guy, then what a signer.
Great. I mean, I was going to say, I mean, it's another, like, I think he's going to be, you know, he's got 2.5 years to run on the deal. He's a Falkirk player. And I think under the Brian Graham learning tree, as Barney is, Ben Parkinson will 100% come on as a player. And, you know, he showed last night, I think he was really good. We'll talk about the penalty, you know, for a young lad to score up, stand up and score that fifth penalty. Fair play to him as well.
He's such a confident young guy as well. Like,
we spoke to him in the lounge on Wednesday, Ross.
We did, yeah. We spoke to him then. He was a very confident guy.
Yeah.
You saw him again on his post-match interview last night. I think Brad was having Nick Kittens. Everything that Ben was saying, like, oh, we'll go all the way, we're going to win the cup. And Brad's just like, you need to calm yourself down here.
Love it, love it.
But yeah, listen, he's enthusiastic, he's confident in himself. Why not?
Yeah. I do wonder, though, you know, with Ben coming in, if Ross is back fit, if Barney will go back out on loan. I don't know. I don't know, but I don't know when Ross.
I don't think so.
Do you know what I think so? No, I mean, I thought we're going to have four strikers when Ross is available again. We have four strikers there, so I was just wondering maybe if that leads to Barney going out on loan again, or if
there's obviously question marks over when Gary Oliver's back. Would he be going out on loan because he's obviously not featured much?
Yeah.
But I think we need to. If we want to finish the season strongly, I think we need options there.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I certainly, if Barney was going to go out on loan, I think he would have just stayed at Dunfermline.
Yeah.
I don't think we would have recalled him.
Well, we did recall him when, obviously, we were short of strikers. You know,
we
did recall him because Ross was out injured. I mean, we had really Brian in the building to play at centre forward. So I just wonder, I'll be interested to see what happens. I do think, like you said there, Ross, I do think we might see a few. You know, Alfie wasn't on the bench again last night. Is he one that's going out? Aiden wasn't on the bench again last night. So you wonder, will these guys, with the likes of obviously Ben coming in and Louis coming in as well, will we see the likes of Aiden, Alfie, maybe Tom? By the way, I saw Tom at the end of the game last night celebrating. It filled my heart with joy to see him again. And, you know, let's get him back on the bench. The campaign to get Tom back on the bench and that's starting 11. I'm leading it from the front. But it was a delight to see Tom at the end celebrating last night, let me just tell you. But yes, we might see a few of those boys maybe heading out on the one, I think.
I think you're right. I think you're right, John. I think Parkinson will start against Hibs on Saturday. I really do. I think he deserves his chance, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, Scott. I do think he will start against Hibs. We'll wait and see what happens there. But yeah, we get our noses in front and then we've played pretty decent. I mean, the pressure came from Hearts, obviously, as they were chasing the game. Actually, on Hearts, I was like, I thought with them being the last two games having played with 10 men for most of the game, I thought there would have been big changes, but that was the strongest Hearts side you could have played against, I think.
Yeah, no, it was. It was a really strong Hearts team. I think when I saw their lineup, I did wonder if he might make a few changes just with the games that they've had. They've obviously got a big game against Celtic coming up as well. And you do wonder, knowing what Derek McInnes knows now about how the game transpired, the injuries that he picked up during the game, should he have made changes? But that's on them. That's on
Well,
him.
the good thing about it, Scott, is they've got no excuses either because they did play their strongest side against us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I had them whinging about three games in 6 days because they played obviously Sunday with 10 men, Tuesday night with 10 men, and obviously last night. Was a strong team. They obviously were targeting the Scottish Cup and along with their Premiership run they're currently on. So, yeah, big loss for them. And you're right, no excuses. We won fair and square against a really strong team. It's also worth noting, guys, that St Mirren beat them in the League Cup, yeah, early in the season. It was a 1-1 draw and they won 5-4 in penalties. I'm just saying.
Like it, Scott.
Like
Like
our
you're
time, it's
thinking.
our time,
Like you're
guys, it's our
thinking.
time.
Yep.
Well,
And to add to that, Hearts lost a penalty shootout in the Scottish Cup last season to
yeah,
Aberdeen
there you go.
in penalties.
There you go. I like it.
Yes,
I like
so.
where you're going with this thinking, boys. I mean,
Sorry, just on that. If we win the Scottish Cup, do we get in the Europe, yeah?
yeah.
Think
Yes, you do. Yeah, you do.
yes. So we've got two chances for the win plane then, yeah?
Indeed. Love it, Scott. Love it.
Brilliant. Yeah, you got your passport looked at, I'm sure, Scott. I mean, it was, Hearts obviously after the goal piled on the pressure, but I think we just dealt with it really well. As we've talked about, Liam Henderson, outstanding, Marshall in that defence, the all four of them, McCann, Lisa, Conor Allan, again, I keep talking about this, how good this young lad is. Like, he's just exceptional, exceptional football and talent.
He really is. As you said earlier, John, it's like the defence is just they're taking each other on this journey just now. And like Kaelin Adams even came on and did very, very well when Lissa went off. I don't believe there's a I don't think there's any injury there. I think he's just been a long day, sorry, a long week with a few games, and it's just I think he's gonna be fine.
Oh, that's good to hear if you've heard that. I was going to ask about that, but I thought Kaelin came on and did really well as well. We know how good. I mean, Kaelin's just been unlucky in the fact that Lissa has been probably our outstanding player this season. So Kaelin's been very unlucky in the fact that he's not been able to get in back into the side after his injury. So you feel for Kaelin, but he came off the bench last night and he played really, really well.
Done very well. He just fitted in that right back like a glove, and we're very fortunate to have the two options at right back.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Obviously, penalty for Hart. You're urging your side to get over the line the last 5 minutes. And Leon, I don't know what Leon was thinking. You can't stand back and obviously slag Leon, but I don't know what he was thinking. It was a definite penalty. There's no argument that it wasn't a penalty.
You could argue,
Oh, you could
no,
argue
I'm going to
against me.
argue.
Do you
You could
think it
argue.
wasn't a penalty?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I can understand why it was given, right? But what I'm trying to say is the boy was going down. He was looking for the penalty. Like, obviously, Leon's sort of confirmed it by kind of putting his. I think he's put his leg out thinking the boy's going to cross it and he's blocked it, right? Try and block it. But actually, the boy's just kind of followed his weight and his momentum into Leon. And then, obviously, Leon's legs tripped him up. So, listen, I get why it was given, but I think he was definitely looking for it. I definitely do.
Do you not think Liam was very unlucky? But the way the ball bounced, if you go back to when they first went on the run, I thought Liam was very lucky with the bounce of the ball that the guy got the run on him. And you're right, Ross. He was leaning. The guy was leaning into Liam,
Aye.
and you're right. He was looking for it, and I don't think Liam could have really done much about it. But unfortunately, it was a penalty. I don't think we could argue against that. And Michael Shute was happy, yeah.
Of course he was. It was definitely, it was definitely a penalty. And just Leon just letting his, and at that point, you're going, oh man, I've had a chance there. But we get to extra time, which was great. And by the way, I just want to flag up a really great bit of sportsmanship for Brad Spencer when obviously Lon Shank was clearly injured and he took his armband off. And then a Hearts player, Tom McInnes, going mental because the Hearts player took the throw in when Shanklin was clearly meant to come off. And Brad Spencer and held stand up just kicked the ball out for him. I thought it was a really nice bit of sportsmanship from Brad Spencer. You don't like that, Ross, do you?
No, I don't at all. Fuck him. Why are we putting the ball out for him? I get it. Like, listen, it is nice, blah, 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 blah. But, no.
No,
I
none of
see if
this
you're three.
sportsman
If you're
nonsense.
3-0 up, aye, fair enough. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying Brad was wrong to do it, but I wouldn't have done it.
Fair enough. Calvin Miller, we've not really mentioned Calvin Miller. I thought Calvin Miller did what Calvin Miller does, just work rate, work rate, work rate. And, you know, he got half a chance. When we went to extra time, he had a kind of half chance. Good save from the goalkeeper. I don't know how he couldn't hold it, but just wanted someone to follow up on it. But Calvin Miller, again, ran his socks off again last night, I thought, Scott.
He's had a real good week. I thought he was brilliant against Celtic on Wednesday night. And yeah, really, really good player. Great player for us. Runs his heart out. Really, really strong in that position. Yeah, undroppable to be honest. I mean, really, 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 really good player for Falkirk.
Yeah.
You could tell there was some tired legs though, an injury. Sorry, an extra time. Calvin, obviously, Dylan was
Yeah.
had run his race. However, he kept going, and so did Calvin.
Dylan
Sorry,
Tate
that's
last like,
aye.
he make, Dylan Tate is sometimes make frustrates me because he makes a silly pass in like the opposite, like he'll make do something silly, and there was a couple of occasions that happened last night, but his work rate is incredible, and we've got to appreciate it. I think there was Dylan Tate special last night when I think he didn't even get touched and he went down and he just won the he obviously got booked for diving as well for a penalty as well, which you would back it with. Right, Dylan, okay. Fair enough, he didn't even come in.
There was contact, right? But I don't think it was enough contact for him to be. But I thought he ran him and Brad ran the
Yeah.
midfield last night. I know there's I've spoken to Dylan before. I think he listens to bits of the podcast, whether he listens to all of it. I'm going to say something now, right? Dylan Tate, please sign the extension that's on the table because we want you to be a Falkirk player for the next, like, well, as long
Oh,
as we can have you. So
I
get
love
it
him.
signed.
Absolutely love him. We need a shite, and Dylan Tate is that. You'd hate if Dylan Tate was playing the opposition as a supporter, you'd be right on him all the time. But we've had been so long, we've been so nicey, right? Dylan just brings work rate, works his arse off. You know, he probably needs to, I think in his own admits, he wants to add a bit more goals to his game. He's only got one for the season so far, but he's just like so. He's just a wee arsehole in all of it. Do you know what I mean by that? It just, I love
Well,
it. I just love it.
if you remember back in League One when he played against us for Hamilton, you know, he was annoying to play against, though. But no, a great player for
Love
Falkirk.
him. Love him.
Really,
And Dylan Tate is a champion. Oh, love it. Absolutely love it. So,
yeah, good.
aye, great. Again, hats off to. I mean, you look at. I fed up of coming on this podcast and talking about how good the Falkirk players are, because everyone to a man worked their socks off last night. Really, really did. Hearts in extra time, you know, they had free kick, which just kind of went wide. We've not really talked about Louis Marsh. I thought he was quite quiet. I mean, he got on at half time, but he was quite quiet. But he did have a decent chance in extra time as well, Ross.
I thought, do you know, I know there's some people saying, oh, he should have put it away. I thought he did really well to get himself into that position. He had a real good strike at the ball.
Yeah.
Obviously, it did go straight at the keeper, but I thought he did well. You're right, he probably didn't have like big moments apart from that. But what I like about him is that when he's on the ball, you think he's gonna drive on, he's gonna try and make something happen. I like him. I like him. I need to hold my hand up though. I keep saying Louis Walsh, which is obviously a problem because Louis Walsh is like an absolute bell end. But no, I think Louis is just I like him, and I think he's going to have a few big moments for Falkirk this season.
Yeah.
Ross, I agree. I think his pace and his enthusiasm and his energy. I think he's got a good time for Falkirk. Hopefully, he chips in with a few goals as well. You know.
I think so. Big lad.
Yeah.
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 Yes. I'm not too sure about the curtains of his hair, but apparently that's back in. You know, all the like Brad
Oh, great.
Spencer's getting curtains now as well. There's a boy at my work, Callum. He's got curtains for a haircut.
Scott, I reckon me and you should go back for the curtains. Let's do it.
No, I'll be going to Turkey first, Ross. Yeah, listen, you know, curtains, that means with that character on 4 Winds of a Funeral, what can't remember his name, but
The actor, what's his
Hugh
eye?
God's sake,
Grant.
Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant. Aye, Hugh Grant. Aye, God's sake, yeah.
I don't think there was any, you know, way that I thought very smart substitute when Brian Graham came on for Kyle Wilson in the 119th minute. I thought, yeah, we know where this is going.
That was one of the most tactical substitutions. However, it also led, fast forward to the penalties. This was another one. I'm sitting going to my daughter going, oh, we've brought him on to score a penalty and he's going to miss it.
Ross, me and you are so alike. I said the exact same things. I said, that's it, we're done. Brian's going to miss the penalty. He's been brought on for the penalty. He's going to miss it. But of course he didn't. Of course he didn't. Penalty shootouts, we don't get many as Falkirk supporters, a penalty shootout. It is very exciting. And I actually had Scott Bain back. I thought Scott Bain, you know, he obviously saved that one against Livingston earlier on in the season, and he's got a decent record at penalties. So at that point, I was like, right, we just need these boys to score. We just need these boys to score, and the score they did. I mean, in terms of the penalty takers, was that the kind of, I didn't think half Hindle down for a penalty.
No, probably not. Obviously, Brian Graham, yes, Spencer,
yeah,
Parkinson, Dylan Tate, I thought would take one as
I
well.
I thought so, Dylan Tate would take one, actually.
I thought everyone probably bar Hendel, but then why not Hendel? He's got such a good strike on him. So you get it when you think about it. But no, when I'm thinking about who's going to take one, I probably wouldn't have had Hendel in there.
Yeah. I tell you what, he struck it beautifully as well, didn't he?
He did. All of them were struck really, really well.
I know.
Really good penalties for Falkirk.
Like, obviously, Kabangu missed for Hearts as well, and it was an absolute ridiculous miss as well. Scott Bain didn't even have anything to do. I wonder if they had worked on penalties during the week.
Falkirk. Possibly. Yeah,
I think Paul Smith said in an interview that they practiced on the Friday for penalties, so that it must have been in their thoughts, guys.
I bet you what wasn't practiced though was Scott Bain finding the Hearts goalkeeper's penalty note taker. Did you see it? The note that he found on the grass. So he had saw the Hearts boy went up to obviously go in between the sticks. Scott's then moved his towel. And then the bit paper is there with who strikes what. So I think this was after the second penalty. So he then scrolls it up, chucks it into the away end. And then obviously our Bairns fans sent us the picture this morning. Late last night with the graphic. Brilliant.
By the way, I saw the picture. It's incredible that we've actually got the actual dive left, dive right, dive left. Incredible stuff. How did, but it's like on looking at the note, how did he know where Ben Parkinson was? I mean, is Ben Parkinson taking many penalties for Newcastle? I don't know.
There must be footage out there of him playing for Newcastle and under 21s and stuff. Yeah, maybe.
I love that. It's just like written in a pen as well. Someone just like a note in a notebook has done it. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing stuff. So, aye, great stuff. Well done, whoever picked up that note. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But, yeah, massive winning penalties. The boys were all incredible. All penalties were absolutely incredible. Nothing to worry about when Liam Henderson stood up. I jumped up and said, why is Hendo taking that second penalty? Why? You know, Brad was a shooting to take one, but, like, I was amazed at Hendo. But, again, no worries. No worries at all for the big man. Like I say, that is some guts from Ben Parkinson to stand up, having scored in the game and just coming into the club, young lad, and he steps up and takes the fifth and final penalty to put us in the hat for the next round. Unbelievable.
And just boots it right down the middle and bursting it.
Such a cocky guy, and I love it. Like, I'm here for it. I think he's going to be so confident in his game time with us going forward. You know when you look at a striker and they've just got a bit of something about them, like he's the exact opposite of Trey. Do you know what I mean? Like but he is the one. Like Trey just looked uninterested, didn't have any swagger. I'm here for Ben. Really am.
Well, we're all here for Ben.
Completely agree.
Absolutely. Well, listen, like I say, in the hat for the next round, and let's hear what Paul Smith had to say after the game.
Paul, that was some experience out there tonight. How do you begin to sum it up?
Probably lost for words at this moment in time. Absolutely fantastic. We were probably put through the ringer a wee bit the first 45 minutes. We didn't start the game very well. Hearts had a lot of possession, put us under a lot of pressure, which we knew we'd have to handle. But we were disappointing our own. We weren't keeping the ball, we weren't causing enough problems to Hearts, and we were second best the first half. We made obviously three changes at half time, and I thought it changed the game a wee bit. You know, we went back to, you know, a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1, and started to cause Hearts a few problems getting down the sides of them. Scored a fantastic goal. Great to see Parker get his first goal for us, and just disappointed to, you know, maybe give the penalty away, but fought really hard for the full 90 minutes in extra time, and going to penalties was just, as I say, very difficult to put into words. But absolutely delighted for the players. They put so much into the game, and I think, you know, over the course we probably just deserve to be in the hat for the draw.
Probably a lot of people writing us off tonight, but like you said, you can't fault the work rate, the effort and the heart from the players, and it's kind of a wee sign of how far we've come.
As I said, I'm lost for words for what these players keep producing, you know, from going back to League One and then the Championship, and then how well we're doing in the Premier League. And to come to Tynecastle, I think that's his Hearts' first defeat this season at Tynecastle. I'm not too sure about that, but I'm sure it is. You know, playing a team that have spent a hell of a lot of money, huge budget, and to come here in their own backyard and to win the cup tie, it's just, you know, unbelievable.
Really good performances all round, but the two new players, Ben Parkinson and Louis Marsh, how much did they impress you tonight?
Yeah, really difficult coming on, you know, your first game, and you're coming on at Tynecastle, a full 15, 16,000 Hearts supporters there. You know, real intensity in the game that these guys aren't used to playing in. You know, they're used to playing under 21 football, so I thought they handled that really, really well. And I've not seen the goal back, but I believe Ben's movement for the goal is absolutely fantastic, and you know, he's finished it well there. And I felt Louis Marsh might have just won the game for us in extra time, just 2 minutes before the end. He's had a good strike, but the goal's made a good save from there. So delighted for the two of them, they're absolutely buzzing.
Something that doesn't happen often to us, a penalty shootout. Every penalty perfect, is that something that the team's been working on in the lead up to this fixture?
We took penalties yesterday, we worked on penalties yesterday. And, you know, obviously we took Carell off and brought Brian on because we know Brian's very good at penalty kicks. We knew he's experienced, he'd be able to handle the situation. So it obviously worked in our favour with that one because Brian obviously finished. But the five, there was a lot of good penalties tonight. And as I say, five perfect penalties from us.
How important is a win like this in terms of momentum going back into the league now in a week today?
I think, you know, you even go back to the 1-0 defeat against Celtic. You know, we certainly deserve to take something out of the game against Celtic. We've come into Hearts' backyard today. We've come away into the next draw, as I say, and it just keeps it, everything just keeps going. And as I say, I'm lost for words to what I can say about these players, the group of players. You know, it wasn't just the 11 players and the subs that came on. It's the full squad. Everybody knows how good our changing room is, and that's what pulls you through.
There you go, Paul Smith there. They all seem to take it in turns, Paul, John and Stephen, in terms of doing the post-match. But great to hear from Paul, and you can tell how delighted, like you say, we're running out of words, even like I say in this podcast, just talking about how amazing this group of players have been for Falkirk. You know, the superlatives, long may it continue, the superlatives, but you know, like, it's been pointed out so many times, and like in the media, you're just sick of hearing, you know, other supporters must be sick of hearing about the journey that Falkirk have taken from being sixth in League One to now find ourselves sixth in the Premiership, putting Hearts out the cup, who are told
on their own.
And as Paul said, you know, it's the first time they've been beaten. You can't take that away. It's the first time they've been beaten at Tynecastle this season. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Just the group of players, you know, you're so proud to be a Falkirk supporter, and there can't be any other group of supporters that have been served so well over the last 3 years than us, you know, from being invincible to winning the Championship to being sixth in the league to putting Hearts out the Scottish Cup in their own patch. It's honestly, I'm overwhelmed.
You're gonna start greeting in a minute.
I think honestly, I do feel like sometimes I feel like a good greet, because it's just incredible.
Joe, I'm just thinking there when you're saying that you're right. I mean, we've all been Folker fans for a very, very long time, and I've never known such a connection between the board, the fans, the players, the
team. It's because we've all been in this journey, Scott. It's because we've all been in the journey together, you know, and we've stood by the...
And guys, don't underestimate the part you guys are playing this as well, by the way, this podcast. I'm telling you, you're all part of the journey. It's really fantastic. Proudest points to be a Folker fan right now. Really am. Brilliant. Loving it.
Absolutely. Incredible. I don't think us talking shite about Falkirk on a weekly basis has helped the team, but I'll take it. I'll take it, Scott.
John, I'm seeing the connection between the fans and the team. Now, you guys have been a big part in that, so stop being so modest, John.
Well, I appreciate that, Scott. Thank you so much for that. Let's hear what you guys had to say after the match. Let's kick off with James. He says, what a time to be a Bairn. Just said that. The last 2 years really have been amazing, haven't they? Yes, they have, James. Yes, they have.
They have indeed. Our pal Elsa.
Shout to Elsa, star of BBC. I was listening to Radio Scotland and then the bold Elsa popped up. I was like, because sometimes they do that thing on a Saturday. Sometimes to hear Craig...
On the Suns.
And then I was listening to the post match. I think it was after the St Mirren game, and then the bold Elsa popped up on the BBC. Amazing. So star of the BBC, Elsa Fantini, you meant to say.
Star of the BBC, Elsa. Yep. So she says, I'll never forget how it felt when Parkinson battered that penalty into the net and the whole stand went mental. What a team this is. Even after they got that late equaliser, I still thought we'd win. The magic of the cup was there tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Croft says, from halftime onwards, we were simply sensational. What a club.
Hendo says, what a phenomenal team. An outstanding performance from the best Falkirk team of my lifetime, in brackets, since 93. Fingers crossed for a favourable draw. But anyway, let's just build the McGlynn statue. My personal rated player today was Tate, Dafty, Michael Stewart, Blotto, me.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Paul says, 90 minutes was a game of two halves. The change at halftime electrified us and we were far better in that second half. Ben Parkinson, what a hero. He'll be some player for us. To a man, we were excellent. Some of the most advanced football I've seen us play. We're learning. Yeah, absolutely. And I do, like, going back to what Hendo says, like, this has to be the best Falkirk team ever. I'm going to say it now. This team is the best Falkirk team ever. I mean, you can go back to, there'll be people older than us. You know, you go back to the 57 side or what have you, the 1913 side. But, like, in modern history, like, in my lifetime, it's certainly the best Falkirk side ever. I loved Ian McCall's side. Absolutely adored that side. I love the Jim Jeffries side. You know, we've had some amazing players over the time. But this, it's not the individual. When you look at Stainrod, Latapy, you know, the Yogi Hughes side as well, that, you know, did so well for us as well. It's not about those individual players. And you look at that, like, through the goal scorers, like, the goals get passed around the team. And it is just, it's the team itself. It's that whole, and I think it's going to be really, really sad. It's going to be a sad moment because it will come, and I think it might come at the end of the season when that team gets broken up to an extent, when you, Gary Oliver, Alfie Agyeman, you know, Aidan Nesbitt, these type of players who aren't even finding time on the bench now. You know, it'll be a sad time, but this group of players, this team is exceptional. Absolutely exceptional. And it's just, again, I feel like I'm going to cry again.
I completely agree, John. For me, it's the best we've seen so far. And I think it's important that we do say so far because we're not done.
I like that.
I think there's moments, some big moments that will come in the next couple of years for Falkirk. I do.
Sorry, Ross, I agree with that 100%. It's the best team I've seen in my lifetime. It's no quit. I've lived longer than you guys, I'm afraid. So, I totally agree. It's a great team to be a Falkirk fan right there.
100%, mate. 100%. Yeah. Craig Hogarth says, no failures again, but standouts for me were Tate, Hendo and Wilson when he came on. Nobody will want us in the next round. What a team.
Yeah. Stevie says, moment of the night. Hearts keeper leaving his notes in his tail and Scott Bain picks him up and gives him to a Falkirk fan. That's incredible. It's just incredible. Scott Bain, I love Scott Bain. That's the kind of shit house I'm here for. I love it. He was raging when he came back and they were gone. I completely missed this on the telly, but you know, I haven't seen the picture now on our social media. Check it out on X at Falkirk Daft. It's incredible the fact that Scott has just found the notes, went over and handed it to a Falkirk.
Can you imagine?
That is incredible.
Can you imagine when the keeper comes back over, like lifts the towel and he's going?
It's incredible stuff.
Indeed. Casky Boy says, "What a team. We just keep getting better, better, and better. In the last 4 days, we've gone toe to toe with two of Scotland's best teams, and we should have won them both. Get the fourth stand and name it the Sir John McGlynn stand."
Here, here. Jamie says, "Class. John got his changes spot on. What a credit to Kyle Wilson. He was an absolute mess. He absolutely was. And he loved it."
He did indeed. And finally, Boney Unk says, "Ben Parkinson looks like a young Geordie fox in the box we have been crying out for." And then he finishes off with, "All the lads and lassies smile upon their faces, Gannon land the Gorgie Road, cheering John McGlynn's aces."
Oh, love it. I'm here for it. Being a Newcastle fan, being a Newcastle supporter as well. I'm absolutely here for that, Chad. Absolutely brilliant. Love it, love it, love it. Right, Falkirk Daft rated. Who are we giving it to? Let's start off with you, Scott.
It was between two for me, Connor Allen or Liam Henderson, and Big Hendo, absolute colossus at the back. Brilliant season so far. Immense last night. That's who I'm going for.
Ross?
I think I'm kind of going, there's about four in my head, but do you know what? Just for the impact he's made, I'm going to go Ben Parkinson.
Oh, and I was going to go for Dylan Tate. I was going to go for Dylan Tate. I thought
he was one of my four. Hendo, Lissa,
Wilson. Tate, you know, you could even put Wilson did made such an impact in that game. He terrorised Hearts with his pace, but and Lissa as well. I mean, Lissa could quite happily, but do you know what? I think I said at the start, I think I'm going to, it's cast and vote. I think I'll go Hendo. I think we'll go Hendo. I do think, again, like you say, Scott, we talked about, he just goes so unnoticed and he just marshals that defence. So, you know, you look at the amount of clean sheets we've had this season and Hendo. Yep. Yeah, let's give it to Hendo. Unless you want to put a bigger fight for Ben.
No. Listen, he had. I think there's four, five, six players who we could talk about as a standout. And but Hendo led the defence well again and scored a beautiful penalty.
Yeah, great, absolutely brilliant. All right, well, shout out to Hendo then. Falkirk Dafty of the week. I think there's only one man. I think we've got it from Hendo in the comments. Got to be Michael Stewart, surely.
Has to be.
100%. Michael Stewart is this week's Falkirk Dafty. There you go, Michael. Congratulations on your award. Right, okay. Scott, I don't know, you've been in the 1876 lounge. You've listened to the podcast. It's time to play Falkirk Daft Versus. You know how this game works. Five questions on Falkirk. You're going up against me this week. And Ross has got the questions.
I do indeed. So, John, have you got your whiteboard?
I've got my board. Where is my pen?
I don't think you're getting to worry about this week, John.
Got my pen, got my board. I'm ready to go.
You're ready to go. Fantastic. Scott, are you feeling confident?
No. I'll do my best, guys. I'll do my best.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I'll ask you for a verbal answer, Scott, but not until John's written something down, and then we'll get his answer. Okay, right, guys. So, question number one then. Who was the last player to have signed from Newcastle prior to Ben Parkinson? So who was the last player to have signed from Newcastle prior to Ben Parkinson?
Write some down.
Okay. Scott, we'll come to you.
Carol Finnegan.
You're thinking it was Carol Finnegan. It's a good guess, guys, but it's not right. Carol Finnegan was before Tim Krul. Tim Krul was the last player to signed from Newcastle.
Right.
I can see where you were going with that, though. Okay, so still no. Question number two, and it's a who am I? I started my career as a youth with Aberdeen before being loaned to Elgin City. I made a permanent transfer to Alloa, playing over 100 games before going on to play over 200 times in the Premier Division, Premier League, with three separate clubs, including Falkirk. Who am I? So I started my career as a youth with Aberdeen before being loaned to Elgin City. I made a permanent transfer to Alloa, playing over 100 games before going on to play over 200 times in the Premiership with three separate clubs, including Falkirk. Who am I?
I've written down an answer.
No idea.
Scott, any guesses?
No. That's a guess. I've got a clue.
Scott Bain?
Scott Bain is the correct answer. There we go. 1-0. Yes, indeed. Wow. Yeah. Wow. 100 games for Alloa. And then he obviously played for Dundee, Celtic, and Falkirk.
I didn't realise he started at Aberdeen. I thought he was always down here, you know. There you go.
Do you know, I didn't know that until checked his backstory.
It was the Alloa part that gave it away for me. Yeah. So there you go. 1-0. Come on.
1-0. So question number three, true or false? We have scored more goals than any of the teams below us in the league. So true or false, we have scored more goals than any of the teams below us in the league. John, do not look at our table. You're cheating, but
I'm not. Right, okay, I've got my answer. Is there a table?
There is a table. Of course there's a table.
Right, I've written my answer already. I've just Jesus Christ, I've just seen there's a table on the right. I've written down my answer though. What have you got for Scott?
I'm going false.
I've went false as well.
These are both right. Yeah, but it's false. Dundee United have scored five more goals than Falkirk as it currently stands.
Oh, there it is in the table. Right enough. There you go.
All the rest of the teams, we've scored more goals than.
Right.
Okay, so that's 2-1. Question number four. John will like this one. Who wears shirt number 27? Who wears squad number 27?
I actually know this one. I think I know this one. I've written down an answer.
Okay, Finn Yates.
You're thinking Finn Yates?
Ben Parkinson.
John takes the win for
400. Yes! I actually knew that one. I don't know why. But then I figured he's went. Do you know what? He'll have done that thing where strikers want the number 9, but he went for 2 and 7 because it adds up to 9.
Yeah.
So I bet you.
Well done, John. Well done.
Thanks, Scott. Happy with that. Thank you. And listen, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Scott. Really enjoyed that. Good chat, mate.
Yeah.
And remember, don't leave your car in the coach and parking areas in the future.
Noted, John. Thank you very much.
Absolutely brilliant. That's it. Scott, thanks for joining us on Falkirk Daft.
Right, thanks, guys. Take care. Cheers now.
Cheers, matey.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
Now for something a bit different on Falkirk Daft, we're going into, I'm going to call it, Ross, Book Corner. We've got a novelist on, an author of a book which was brought out just before Christmas, The Life and Times of Sid Pudfoot. Now, if you don't know, as a younger Falkirk supporter, Falkirk, and this is my favourite Falkirk fact, are the only Scottish team to break the world transfer record. And that was when we signed Sid Pudfoot from West Ham. And a man that's written a book about this whole episode and what happened with Sid Pudfoot. The book is called The Life and Times of Sid Pudfoot, available in the club shop right now. The author is on with us right now. It's Peter Morris. Hi, Peter. Welcome to Falkirk Daft.
Good afternoon, John and Ross. Yeah, great to be here.
Thank you very much. Good to see you.
I think, you know, obviously you're not a Falkirk Bairn yourself, Peter, judging by accent. You're coming from the West Ham angle on this story. Tell us about how you came across the story and what inspired you to write the book.
Well, I've been a West Ham fan all my life, and so 50 odd years and all that. And Sid Pudfoot is a name that those of us interested in West Ham history are well aware of. He still holds the record for the club for the FA Cup most goals in a game. Interestingly, 1914, he scored 5 against Chesterfield. So he's been a name that sort of, you know, he's well known, as I say, and he's one of our favourite sons. But for me, I was approaching retirement a couple of years ago and I was thinking about, I've always wanted to write a book, but never really had the, you know, time or the subject matter. And then I came across online, as you do, you know, pottering about online one day, came across Michael White's pamphlet, A Most Sensational Capture. And absolutely brilliant, and got hold of a copy and read it and realised that the Puddyfoot story wasn't just about the transfer. I mean, that is obviously the thing that stands out at West Ham, that they all went into mourning at the time. It was an absolute, they were shell-shocked that he left and he'd gone to Scotland. But the fact is that Puddyfoot played for England. He played cricket for Essex. He won the FA Cup with Blackburn. He did all sorts of things at West Ham, scored 7 goals in one game, and then became a manager and went off to Turkey, which was really quite trailblazing in the 30s. So I thought, blimey, this bloke's got a lot more about him than one day in 1922. Made sure no one had actually written a full-length biography of him. Obviously, Michael's pamphlet was a real good starting point. And found out that no one had, even though he was one of the big stars of the 20s and 30s. I mean, he was really up there with the Huey Gallaghers and the Alex Jameses and Dixie Dean. So I thought, oh, great. And then I just started, and I'd almost finished the book before I retired, actually. It was quite funny. I got so into the research.
Fantastic.
That I'd pretty much finished it. And there we are. And so it came out, as John had just said, it came out late last year. And it's available in the Falkirk shop. I think Michael's pamphlet is still also available in the Falkirk shop. I hope it is, because it's got some lovely photos in that that I haven't used. So there you go.
So being that you mentioned Michael there, how closely did you work? Michael White, if people are listening to the podcast, the cop historian, how closely did you work with Michael on the book, Peter?
Well, I came up to Falkirk, as I say, May 24. I met him and we had a really good morning session, but he read the Falkirk chapters for me and put me right on a few things, such as it's not
not like Michael would put anyone right.
He would. I was so grateful. I mean, and the one that always springs to mind is I referred to the Killy and he said no, in Scotland we call them Killy. Things like that. I'm a bit of a pedant like that myself, so I'm not going to criticize Michael. I think he was But, he was telling me all sorts of stories as we met, about Alex Ferguson leading the strike and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I've had great help from West Ham historians, Blackburn historians, Galatasaray historians. So that's really helped me as a newcomer to this kind of field.
I love it when there's, like, ties between clubs and stuff. And it's a shame that, obviously, at 21, 22... season, Falkirk were obviously struggling at the time, and whereas now Falkirk's probably in a bit more of a better position where we could at some point maybe have like a invite West Ham up for a game or something, a friendly to sort of mark an occasion, because we haven't crossed paths that often. Like, I don't know if it's the last time we played West Ham, but I was at a Falkirk West Ham friendly at Brockville in the early 90s. And I don't know if that was the last time we played West Ham. It could well be.
I think it probably is, yeah.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, it was just... But you remember these things, because obviously West Ham, they're a huge English club. So you remember these sorts of games.
Yeah, that would be lovely, wouldn't it? I can't claim to have any influence with the club or any particular love for the regime. So, I mean, they've been absolutely appalling, just as a digression. They've just shown no interest whatsoever.
Yeah.
Which in the old days, in the good old days, they would have been all over this book, but there you go. But yeah, it would be great, wouldn't it? Great to come to the new stadium.
It would, absolutely.
Let's make it happen here in Falkirk Daft. We'll put an invite to West Ham to come up here, Peter, for a game. That'd be good. The story, going back to the story of Sid, I mean, it's incredible. I've seen pictures of the scenes, and I'm sure that you've got pictures in the books of when he arrived in Falkirk, being paraded around the town. There's also a story, and I don't know if you can confirm this, Peter, about the Falkirk directors going down to London with a case full of money, and they actually got them cheaper than they thought. They came back with more money than they had a case. It was a bit of like... I don't know how much it was, but they actually ended up coming back, because I think it was around the... And I'm right saying that there was support, it was like crowdfunding around the town that day to get this guy up.
On the on the crowdfunding, there was an attempt to crowdfund. There was a supporter who asked all of the band supporters to cough up a quid each to help the club pay for Sid. But I don't think that got off the ground. I think to me, you know, the privately owned companies asking people for money to boost their profits always seems a bit dubious. But anyway, so that didn't really get off the ground. But they did come down with £6,000 and were prepared to pay £5,000. And the £1,000 was for Sid. And that is something that really came out in the research, that the age-old question is, why did an East End boy from Stratford travel up, go to Falkirk? It wasn't even one of the... I mean, the old firm were already sort of dominant, or pretty dominant, weren't they? Not as dominant as perhaps they have been. But why did he do it? And I think the main reason was that £1,000, because the regime in England had changed. I won't bore you with the details. It's in the book, but... you couldn't earn that sort of money. If he'd have gone to Tottenham or Blackburn or whatever, there was a real limit on how much he could have made out the transfer. So the 6,000 was in the bag, and they, I don't think they, not quite sure if they handed it over in cash or not.
Probably.
It's all a bit mysterious. It's wonderful stuff, isn't it? Yeah, you can imagine them on the train coming down. It was Willie Nicol and one of the directors came down to London.
What a journey on the way back. Would have been with the money and the player.
that's right. It's amazing times. But imagine being on, even nowadays, with £5,000 on a train.
I mean, it's just as a really. I mean, you're looking at Sid Pudfoot. Is it Puddyfoot? Is that how
Puddy?
Puddyfoot.
So
I mean, looking at his story, it's incredible. When you talk about, you know, he was a cricket international, he was an England international as well, which I didn't realise. 2 caps for England. Ross, here's a question for you. Name any other player that played for Falkirk that had a cap for England. I can only think of one.
As in all of time.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, did Tony Parks?
No, Tony Parks didn't. Tony Parks didn't have a cap for England.
Simon Stainrod?
Nope, didn't have a cap for England.
Oh, Chris Waddle.
Yeah, there you go.
Chris Waddle played for Falkirk.
Chris Waddle played for. He played 4 games for Falkirk, Peter, on loan from Sheffield Wednesday back in the day.
Right. Wonderful.
Incredible. That's another. Incredible story in the Falkirk history. Chris Waddle pulled on a Falkirk top in the first division. It was incredible.
Yeah, he was a great player. Tony Parks, actually, that's another West Ham.
West Ham,
He had a season with us, I think. And he fell out with Billy Bonds. He wanted too much money, so he went to Falkirk, of course.
There you go. There you go. But it's a sensational story, and it's like I say, it's my favourite Falkirk fact ever is that we broke the world transfer record at one point.
And no Scottish team will ever break it.
You wouldn't think so. No. To answer your question though, John, of course there was Jockey Simpson.
Jockey Simpson,
yeah. See, you know, I did my research.
You're schooling us, Peter. You're schooling us. Absolutely.
He was a great player by all accounts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's it. And I'm sure, as ever, our Falkirk Daft listeners will let us know that we've missed about another 4 or 5 names, as we always do in this podcast. So if there is any other ex-England internationals that play for Falkirk, aside from Jockey Simpson, Chris Waddle, and of course, the legend is Sid Puddyfoot. Please let us know in the comments below. Listen, the book is available right now. You can get it in the club shop. Is it online as well, Peter?
Yeah, it's online at Legends Publishing, also Amazon and the usual other outlets. So,
Get it. I'm going to have to buy a copy and read it myself, Peter, because it's an absolutely fascinating story. When you look at look at Sid Puddyfoot's Wikipedia page, and you'll go, what? It's an incredible story. And you can get it and read it now. Thank you, Peter, for joining us on the podcast. And
okay, guys.
Any other books planned, Peter, or is it one and done?
Don't know really, we'll see. I've not got anything in my head at the moment, but I did enjoy the process of researching. I'm very sad like that, going through microfiche of old newspapers.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
It's good fun, but we'll see.
Well, please get yourself, please, if you can, try and get up for a Falkirk game at some point, Peter. We'd love to welcome you at the stadium and have you up here for, because we're having such a great season, and West Ham, unfortunately, aren't having the greatest of seasons. So you can jump on the Falkirk bandwagon this season.
Yeah, perhaps that's what I should do. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Super. Peter Morris, the author of The Life and Times of Sid Puddyfoot, thank you for joining us on Falkirk Daft.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global.
Really enjoyed that chat, Ross, with Peter there. It was it is the best fact. The two facts I love telling people, what a Falkirk player played at the World Cup 3 times and never played a game for Falkirk. That's obviously Denzel Theobald. And in that fact about the world transfer record, it's my two favourite Falkirk facts.
It is one of the, it is the best, isn't it? Like, and it blows everyone's mind when you talk about it as well. And as we've just said to Peter, it will never be broken. That fact is always ours.
Absolutely. Absolutely love it. Love it. Love it. Well, what a week it's been, you know, unlucky against Celtic and then through into the next round of the Scottish Cup. Who do you want, Ross? Would you take them from across the water?
Yeah, I think I would. Yes,
the return of Mr. Morrison to the Falkirk. What a story that would be.
I would like it. Or through there. I don't care.
Oh.
I don't care. In fact, I think I'd prefer it if it was through there, to be honest.
Denny?
Listen, I'm happy with anyone, genuinely.
I mean, look at the names that went through as well. It's Spartans, Mr. Carbis.
He would love that. He would absolutely love that.
Graeme Carver's former commercial. He's obviously general manager at Spartans now. So a wee trip to Spartans would be good, wouldn't it? That'd be a good wee. Obviously, Ross. I'm just looking at Thistle through.
Thistle would be shit. I don't want Thistle. I don't want anyone in our league if I could avoid it.
Yeah. So you know you've got some looking down. You've got obviously Elgin away. What a wee trip that would be, Ross.
Elgin away would be good.
Get that
be,
booked in with the missus. Elgin away
I'd be
would be.
Really happy with that. Airdrie would be shite. Dundee United don't want. Kelty away would be all right.
Kelty away.
Well.
Kelty away
would be good.
I remember Kelty away so fondly the last time we played.
Well, actually, the point is you don't remember Kelty away. Dundee away. Dundee would be horrible. See, the thing is, it would just be like Falkirk to get Dundee away because, like, we get Hearts all the time, we get Dundee all the time. St Mirren, not great day out either. Motherwell, I guess, just these teams that you play all the time. So I agree with you, Spartans.
Denny or Elgin or that lot.
We need to bear in mind that I'm not convinced Aberdeen might get through. I think Raith might put Aberdeen out today. I wouldn't mind Raith. I think Celtic will probably beat. Well, they will beat Auchinleck. It'll take something phenomenal if they don't. I think if it was at Auchinleck, there's always that like leveler of the pitch, of the crowd, of everything. But that's not the case at Rugby Park. So I fully expect Celtic to score a few goals today. Those three or four would be lovely.
Yeah, we'll wait and see what happens. Before we go, let's say thank you very much to the Falkirk Football Fans in Training. They sponsor this podcast every single week. And if you want to get involved with the guys, 8:30 to 9:30 at the Falkirk Stadium every week, you've got your Elite Academy and Legends section, as well as the Over 50 section, which we'll be joining soon enough, Ross. If you want to help your mental health, get fit in the new year, get new year, new you for 2026, head down to the stadium every Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. And the Kelpies Cup will be coming soon. We're waiting for details from Ian and the lads on that, but it should be a cracker. So you can meet a bunch of great guys and have a bit of fun playing the football every week at the Falkirk Stadium. Get in touch, the likes of Bo, Ian, Willie or Dougie are your men that you want to speak to and get sorted out with that. And also thank you very much to Rumour Architecture for sponsoring this week's episode. Really appreciate it, Ryan. And remember that 10% discount is available if you get in touch via their website, rmar.co.uk, and quote Falkirk Daft. So if you need an architect, Ryan is your man. Thank you very much for listening, watching. We're on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on our socials. Type in Falkirk Daft to Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, stroke X, whatever you're calling it these days. And get on the Discord. Get on the Discord chat. There's lots happening on Discord chat. Let's just see what they're discussing. It's like, I now pop into the Discord chat now and again just to make sure people are at. But they're all loving. There's a You've Been Struck by Big Ben is the current chat on the Discord channel, so get on that. It's like a Pie and Bovril 1F, whatever you want to do. It's like a forum, and just get a wee app and you can get involved in that. A lot of great chat in there. So yeah, Discord channel, the links are below, as well as the links for the merch if you want to get that. There we go. We'll be on again on Thursday to preview the Hibs game. Both myself and Ross are in hospitality, lurching it up on Saturday. Ross is going to be having a full, you've got a full squad coming up for it as well, Ross, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got a few guys from down south who I work with. We've got it sounds like a start of a joke, but we've got a Leeds fan, a Grimsby fan and a Borough fan. Nice. All coming up for the weekend, and yeah, they're going to join me and you and your guests in the Brockville Lounge. As we said earlier on, massive shout out to Colin Barr, who's going to cover us in the 1876 Lounge. And he'll do a smashing job, you know that.
Absolutely. And I forgot to say in birthday corner, happy birthday to Finlay, my wee boy. He's turning 16 on Friday, so I should have put that in birthday corner, but he listens to the podcast now. He's a signed up Bairn. So happy birthday, Finlay. He's going to be 16 and he's coming to hospitality on Saturday as well. So his first, I mean, obviously you can give him all the advice about hospitality, Ross, obviously being a season ticket holder in the hospitality lounge. But yeah, you can give him all the advice, but he'll be in the lounge with me on Saturday. So looking forward to that. But listen, thank you very much for watching, listening. Oh, what a time it is to be a Bairn. What a time it is to be a Bairn. And long may it continue. We're back to preview Hibs on Thursday, but until then,
expect unexpectedly. More the Bairns.
What folk are daft, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. What folk are daft, you can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. What folk are daft, for everyone who's kidding about being a folk are daft. What folk are daft, we are folk are daft.